This week on Ezeoka Speaking Truths, we have a conversation with Nigerian photographers and visual artists Ugochukwu Emibriodo and Nengi Nelson, as well as South African artist and curator Musa Nxumalo. Looking at their photographic practice, we discuss the role of photography as a tool of protest, activism, and representation. What role does the camera play in identity making, and what sense of responsibility do photographers feel when documenting their subjects?
Hello, everyone. My name is Emibriodo Ugochukwu. I'm a photographer and curator from Lagos, Nigeria.
Hi, guys. So my name is Musa Nxumalo. I am based here in South Africa, Johannesburg. And I consider myself an artist, and I work with photography as a medium.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. My name is Nengi Nelson, and I'm a photographer. Pretty much like prefer to refer to myself as a visual artist, because I'm beginning to do things outside of just photography.
So recently, AAF had a panel discussion at their space discussing the NSAS protest a year on and kind of the role that photographers played in putting that information out for publics in Nigeria, in Lagos specifically, but also to the rest of us on the continent and in the diaspora, so we could have an understanding of what was going on the ground. And it led to a larger curatorial conversation around the role that photography has played on the continent, not just in terms of protest, but as an extension of representation of our identities, our journeys as Africans historically and in the contemporary moment. And this is why we sort of brought you all together to kind of continue that conversation from your respective practices. With all of that being said, could you tell us a little bit about what drew you to photography?
Okay, so I started, I was trained at least as a photographer from a training institution based in Johannesburg, and it's named Market Photo Workshop. And this is a renowned photography school that was started by David Goldblatt here in Johannesburg. And the history of the school, you know, has very much like strong on documentary photography and photojournalism. My world kind of like opened up a bit, you know, because I got to see that there's more that you can do with photography outside of journalism or documentary photography. And I guess this idea of considering myself an artist working with photography partly comes from that. But then also I quite like pretty much from early on enjoyed the idea of not necessarily creating works so that I can contribute to news or the current maybe situations that are happening around my community, but then rather to create work that self-express, you know, or that represents self-expression, not only of myself, but then also of my close community and ideas that goes beyond maybe our social or our immediate social political conditions and situations.
Hello, everyone. Again. Okay. My name is Ugochukwu Emibriodo. I originally started photography in 2016. I was fresh out of uni. I was a little bit confused on what I wanted to actually do with like the rest of my life. I studied English language and literature. Before then, I knew I enjoyed writing poetry and short stories, but I knew like I was created for something bigger, and I was also lazy. So I combined poetry and short stories. I tried to minimize it and converted that into photography. So like every time you look at some of the pictures that I take, it's like always heavy with stories. So that's like my literary background. It plays like a very big role in how my photographs turn out, because it's a combination of all of the genres of literature that I've encountered in the past. I moved back to Lagos in 2018 and started to work as a junior curator with a foundation in Lagos. And I left in 2020 to pursue like photography full-time. So now I'm a full-time freelance photographer based in Lagos. I consider myself to be a moments man. I can photograph anything as long as it has moments in between. I think that's really it. My photography is very diverse. I combine travel, street, documentary with, now I'm going into, what's it called, filmmaking. So that's another aspect of it. So I would consider myself to be a visual artist and curator, if I am being honest. So yes, I hope that does the trick.
No, that's great. Actually, I really enjoyed hearing both of you talk about how you're approaching your practice, or how you describe your practice. And the thing that popped up for both of you, I like what you said, Musa, about story, about representation, right? Or self-expression. Yes. Like expressing yourself, but also the people around you, that community. And also, Ugochukwu, the idea that you said you called yourself a moment man, or bringing your literary background into how your photography becomes very much about storytelling. And I think the camera becomes this really beautiful tool as an extension of self, right? In which you can kind of talk about you, but also the people around you. And I think that's when it becomes important work.
Thank you so much for having me. For my practice, that has actually taken a very interesting trajectory. I pretty much started out as an events photographer, and I was honestly just doing it for the money. It was like a quick way to make money, just because I just moved to Lagos, and I was pretty much just doing photography, nighttime photography, like shooting parties, going to events, and just documenting events. To be honest, at that time, I didn't even refer to it as documenting events. It was just like me going to shoot. But then I think in 2018, my view on photography kind of changed when I went on like Invisible Borders. So what Invisible Borders did for me was kind of just like open my mind to like the possibility, like to a totally different way to approach photography, which was through like documentary, like sitting down and properly thinking through the stories I was trying to tell, and not just taking like fleeting moments. Nothing wrong with that, but I think it just opened my mind to like a more deeper way to think about photography. So I did this tour around Nigeria, went to about 12 different cities, and the major theme for that project was to tell the Nigerian story through Nigerian eyes. I think that was a very important thing for me to have participated in, because it did change for me. And then I went on to do documentary for, and then I just started doing more documentary work. And since then, I've pretty much had the opportunity to shoot for a few, like I've shot for Reuters, BBC, and all of those were like just means for me to tell like very interesting stories. In terms of my like exploring photography personally, I do a lot of like self-portraits to tell like the stories that, things that affect me. I'm also very interested in like stories around like sexuality, just things like that.
So why is photography specifically your chosen medium of self-expression?
Yeah, I think, you know, for me, you know, it started in high school, and I think it had more to do with my obsession at the time with hip-hop music, you know. So, you know, you had photographers at school, like the guys who would, you know, take a picture of you for like a dollar or whatever, you know, for a small change or so. But it wasn't something that I was thinking about, you know. But then, you know, sooner, you know, when I got introduced to hip hop, you know, one started buying, you know, magazines to read about your favorite artists or the events that are happening around. And obviously then the magazine culture then was big on photography, or showing, you know, the artists and the events. And you know, you'd be familiar with magazines that now and then had posters, you know. And so I started doing scrapbooking, you know, where I would cut out images of my favorite musicians, and cut out images of nice graffiti and stuff like that, you know. And at some point, you know, whilst watching TV, you know, quite towards the end of my school years, you know, then I saw a television program where they documented, or they were profiling Market Photo Workshop as a school. And for me, that felt like something that like would make sense for me to do after high school. And that's why, I guess, photography outside of everything else then became what I chose.
So for me personally, I think photography for me is the medium because first things first, it allows me to be. When I say it allows me to be, it allows me to actually just be myself. And I'm someone who likes to be in the background. I like to just do my thing and just go. I don't like to hang around for too long or be known or be, I don't know. I'd like to be like a fly on the wall. So photography allows me to be in spaces and serve as a projector for people who might not be, have the opportunity to be in those spaces. And because it's almost, I don't know, breathtaking to have the gift of moment, like understanding moments. And I don't think anything can do justice to moments than like pictures, because they are uncensored, they are captured in images. There are a lot of things, a lot of emotion that images are able to carry and convey. And that alone, for me, is why photography is the medium.
I think for me, and I definitely agree with a lot of things that Ugo has said, because I remember what I was like before photography. I was a very like shy. I didn't used to like talk to people and stuff. And then for me, before I even had like my first DSLR, I used to shoot with just my phones. And it was a thing where when I would take pictures, it was like, it was interesting to see the reception that people got from like just seeing the images on my phone. And then after Invisible Borders, and then I had that opportunity to start thinking of images deeper. It felt like, okay, even when I went back to shoot events, it wasn't just, okay, do it and get out. It was like, what kind of story am I telling? And how am I genuinely representing the people that I am photographing? And that is a beautiful thing about why I love photography. It's like you have that space to like document authenticity in whatever form it comes. For individuals, even down to like photographing like objects sometimes, which is something I also enjoy doing. It's like you can just, you're stealing that moment and you're stealing time, first of all. You're saving that time, and then you're telling that thing in its most authentic form. So yeah, I think that's one thing I really love about photography.
Yeah, I agree with all of you in all the points that you've made. I think I'm thinking in the context of us on the continent and how as a medium, it's such an embraced medium because of the fact that, as you said, Ugo, it captures a moment and there is an authenticity that's documented. And Musa, I really love your reference to hip hop culture specifically and how, to me, photography very much captures youth culture. It very much captures, if you will, the zeitgeist and that feeling of kind of loaded moment, if you will. And it's beautiful to be able to capture those things. And that kind of leads me into the third question that I posed initially, which was thinking about youth culture and the mobilization of communities through activism, you know, making example of End SARS and Fees Must Fall and those type of movements. There's something very important about capturing those moments, being able to say that they existed, they've been documented. We've seen this historically across the globe. Now, I don't want to assume or call you all activists, but do you think that the work you do as photographers, when you capture these moments, they, whether they be political or just the idea of Black bodies existing and living, do you think of those as an extension of activism?
I think for me, existing as a Black person on its own is a form of activism. So that alone in itself is a lot of work, because you constantly have to, I don't know, defend why you're here, why you should be given a seat at the table and all of that. Before NSAS, I wouldn't say or consider myself to be an activist in quotes, because activism comes with a lot of seriousness, a lot of, I don't know how people tend to define it. It comes with a lot of comradeship. And for me, I am not that kind of person. I'm more like an observer. I'm very in my zone a lot. I like to just do my thing. But the thing with NSAS was, it went beyond just being an activist. It was more about like, are you human enough to understand and like watch what is happening and just ignore? Would you play the role of an observer all the time? And that part where you just couldn't be silent. Like, of course, I can't go and fight or chant all day long like everyone else. But what do I have that I can contribute to this struggle, to this cause, my photography skills? So it was more like, okay, everybody needs to see what's happening here. Not an abridged version of it, not a one-sided version of it, not a watered-down version, a version of, like, a clear version coming from somebody inside of all of that chaos. So for me, activism is, I don't consider myself to be an activist. If maybe I don't, fighting for one's right to survive or fighting to survive, if that makes one an activist, then I would gladly take that title. But I don't know. It was more like a struggle for self-emancipation. I don't know how else to explain this. The entire struggle in Nigeria, it felt extremely personal for me because I live and I work in the creative sector in Nigeria. And one of the key things about the creative sector in Nigeria is how people are able to express themselves, either through the way they dress, the way they speak, the way they carry themselves. And in Nigeria, those things would mark you for almost immediate execution. The fact that you can speak for yourself, the fact that you can dress anyhow that you want, the fact that you can do anything that you want. So over time, we've had people from the creative industry encounter the police, and it has never really been good. So like, it was more of a roundup of something that has been piling up over time. So when he came to NSAS, I didn't think about activism. I didn't think about anything. I just thought about survival. So I hope that answers the question.
Yeah, so I think with me, you know, and again, I think it has to do with the training that one received from Market Photo Workshop. I think from early on, you know, as students, we were conscientized about, you know, positioning ourselves whenever we making images or making photographs. So whether we would be documenting, you know, or shooting in a strike about employment or anything like that, whatever it is that we choose, you know, to document. And from early on, you know, I think I've kind of like seen myself more as a protester than an activist. And I'll tell you why. And I agree with Ugo Chukwu a lot when he says activism, I think, comes with a lot of work, you know, and there's so much credit that needs to be given to activists. So I see myself more as someone who contributes to the work of activism as a protester. And the Fees Must Fall, you know, campaigns would be one of the examples, you know, of how then I link myself to the works or to contribute to works of activism. So I documented Fees Must Fall, you know, not necessarily as in, you know, again, so that we could report what's happening, you know, on these events. But then I documented, you know, Fees Must Fall, taking a position as in one of the students protesting, you know, and later those works would make one of the exhibitions that I did, which were titled 16 Shots, that speaks to, again, or that continued, you know, my subject matter, which has to do with youth culture and identity and youth activism. So I've always, you know, preferred the term, a protester as opposed to an activist, because I know also kind of like how much also I go in when it comes to issues or ideas, you know, that I contribute in fighting for, especially, you know, when it comes to youth and identity, etc. So, yeah.
So, yeah, I personally do not consider myself an activist. And even though I actively participated in the NSAS movement, I had to sit back some time and like look at history and see people who had actually been activists and how they had immensely like contributed to the movement. And I felt like I just did not feel like I could take that credit. But the one thing I know that I really liked about the NSAS movement, first of all, it has started from like the 1st of October, which was like Nigerians' independence. And like usually, just over the years from growing up in Nigeria, I had seen how much sort of the joy had died down in terms towards that celebration, like people really feeling like, oh, because when I was growing up, it was always something to look forward to, like the streets would be filled with green, white, green, like people would just typically be excited to be celebrating Nigeria's independence. But then on that day, I remember there was also a protest, like the streets of Lagos were filled with people just protesting, like the bad governance and all that had been happening. And then that had then spilled into the NSAS movement. And it was just, it was something really, I want to say beautiful to have experienced. First of all, it was the first time I was participating in a protest. And then at first, when I started, I really just wanted to, I was thinking, okay, I need to document this for history's purpose. And I wanted to be part of history, have my images speak for what had happened during that time. And but then as time went on, I found myself like even taking a stand, like I felt removed initially. But as I kept going out and going to different locations, I was seeing how beautifully the youths in Nigeria had, first of all, come together and done something that hadn't just been done in a while. And it was just something really historic for me to just be part of that. Yeah.
I'm such a fan of what you're all saying here in terms of the idea of observing, being part of that community. And I think photography as a medium, especially the notion of documentation, there's this very interesting dynamic between the photographer and their role as observer, the person that they document or the people, the moments that they document, and the consumer, if you will, of those images after the fact. And it's a very interesting dynamic that's constantly shifting, right? And so, let's sort of shift and now think about the idea of representation and positionality. As African photographers, do you ever feel a sort of responsibility around how you represent your subject, or are you going in as open as possible? Or do you understand that when you choose your subject matter, it's very much with intention?
Yeah, I think, for me, it goes back to this idea of whatever it is that you do, what is your position, you know? And I think for me, that has, you know, always got me to be kind of like clear with my intentions and you know, even how, not necessarily to control how people will consume the works, but then to come from a place where somehow I've set the intentions clear on why, you know, and how these works were created or these images are created, so that if they ever find themselves going out of context for whatever reason, you know, one can always draw back to, you know, my intention, you know, as a photographer. You know, for instance, you know, early on, you know, I've tried, you know, taking up assignments, for instance, you know, where I would be commissioned to go and document, you know, whether it's a community of some sort or to do, you know, basically like a normal assignments that you would take. And I really much like struggled with that, you know, because, you know, I would find that, and again, I think it's just like this, like a generic artistic thing where you feel like, why am I doing something that like I don't resonate with? Or, you know, you've been paid, you need to do a job, but then I really feel, but then this thing doesn't make sense, or this is really not, you know, how I feel people should be represented, for instance. And, you know, from early on, that got me, you know, to double up, you know, in what I do. So I would work as a photographer, being an artist, doing work that is independent, and then, you know, on the side, kind of like have a 9-to-5 job, you know, so that I don't have to think about survival, because, you know, I felt like that sometimes survival then gets you to do works that sometimes you might not necessarily, you know, agree with, but because you have to put food on the table, then you're obliged to do that. But then in the long run, you know, that has, you know, maybe sometimes it, you know, it affects on how, you know, you get yourself out there or people think about your values, etc.
When it comes to engaging spaces and just representing people, the one thing I find that is always very important to me is consent. Because you can never, like, no matter how true a story is, if you don't have consent, if I personally don't have consent, it then feels inauthentic to me.
For me personally, I try my very best to represent the people and the places that I go to in the best light. I try my very best to be in the path of truth, always, not sometimes or when it's convenient, all the time. And I try for my pictures to be as clear as possible. And I don't aim for clarity because of the people who would see the photographs. I aim for clarity for myself, so that when I look back, I don't misunderstand some of the images I must have created myself. Because one thing I've realized is when you do things intentionally, you do them differently. So when you're very clear about what you want and how you approach things, it just shows differently. I originally started taking pictures because most of the pictures I wanted to see were not available for me to see. They were not shot by Black photographers. There was not like enough representation of like everyday life, everyday African life. When I say everyday African life, I mean like the mundane of the mundanes. But like now I'm able to do that and that makes me really happy. So yes, representation.
I like what you were saying about clarity and knowing why you're doing what you do. And I think that can get lost. You know, I think Musa touched on that when he mentioned thinking about the consumer, the person that will view those things, and, you know, context, I think, is really key. So I think you've all kind of touched on what I think are cornerstone ideas when considering representation and also positionality, is keeping in mind your intention as the maker of images, keeping in mind those that you document, and a clear vision of who they are and why you document, but also keeping in mind that context, right? And the people that will consume those images, which, I mean, we can't have control over that, but I think once our intentions are clear and we know exactly what we're trying to say, it's hard to sway that, or at least we hope that it is. Any image makers, photographers that you look at, either now that are working contemporarily or historically, that have been an influence, or that you look at their work and you say, this is, you know, something that I admire?
Yes. For me, there are three Nigerian photographers. The first person is George Oshodi. George Oshodi is a brilliant photographer. His archive is ridiculous. Like, it's mind-blowing, the things he has been able to document. And I learned a while back that he had a mini golf, like a red mini golf that he used to drive across the country with. And looking at the images, you'd be so, his images are beautiful. Like, all the, like, from Lagos of like 25 years ago to like Lagos of now, from like the film era down to like the digital era, he has been able to like consistently create breathtaking images. Like, wow. Then another person is Babajide Adeniyi-Jones. Babajide Adeniyi-Jones is an older photographer. He's also, I think he's probably in his 60s or in his 70s, I think, Nigerian photographer. Also, I like the fact, I like his archive. Like, there are a lot of things that are missing from the African story. It's the African side of the story. Like, a lot of things that we get to see, very iconic moments in the African, like in African history, is always documented by someone Western or someone foreign. So like Babajide Adeniyi-Jones has pictures from Nigeria's independence. He has pictures from Fela's performances in the 80s. He has photographs of Sonia Day in his prime. Like, you know, like seeing that, like that kind of archive. He had pictures from Ayo from like 30 years ago. So being able to see photographs that like touch base or like hit home for me, just, it makes it like, I don't know, I love it. So George Oshodi, Babajide Adeniyi-Jones, and someone very, very contemporary. I like Logo Oluwamiwa. His name is, I think on Instagram, is Monochrome Lagos. I like how in the synopsis for his body of work, he said, Lagos is synonymous with color, but he decided to take out color from Lagos and see how it would look. So his pictures are mostly just monochrome images of Lagos. And if you know Lagos very well, let me quote Odunsi, it's a peak town for romance and chaos. So yes, so think about romance and chaos in black and white. Nogo has a very beautiful way of making you want to be in the photo. Not just seeing the pictures, it's enough to see them, but there's that thing that draws you in.
For me, I would actually start with Malik Sidibe. The first time I came across his book of portraits, it had like this yellow cover and it just said his name Malik Sidibe on it. And I think it was published, I don't remember when, but it was just like a collection of black and white photographs that he had taken. And for me, as someone who also really loves portraiture, I think that was something very beautiful to have seen. And it was like portraits of like Africans looking in the most stylish way. I know that there are a lot of like people from Bamako that he photographed. So it was just like how he really, really photographed the people that are around him. That was one thing that sort of inspired the project that I did, that I'm still doing. It's an ongoing project where I'm documenting artists in Lagos. And the one thing I really like about that project is that I feel like artists always, usually when I engage with artists, I always find that I see the end product. Like they have done the work in their private time in studio. Once in a while, people go and photograph them, but it's not like that consistent documentation of their personality and who they are. And that's what this project is kind of helping me do. For me, it's like creating my own archive of like artists. And I'm looking at a lot of contemporary artists, like young artists, like Ayonfe Olarinde, Kadara Enyasi.
I think, you know, from early on, there was this book, I think it was, I think Okwi had put it together. Mm. I think it was called Snap Judgments or something. And I remember one of the trainers in class bringing it, and I first saw a work by Andrew Dosunmu, and you know, like I ever since, like I think he has become like this one artist that somehow, the one photographer that I always like reference, and I would later find out that he's also like a filmmaker, and he's quite been like very instrumental in some of the early 2000s like music videos in America, like your Angie Stones and Guru, etc. And also he had done a series here in South Africa called Yizo Yizo, you know. So I think there's just something about Andrew Dosunmu, the way he's able to just, you know, from films to his photography, like how he deals, you know, with color and skin tone and his compositions, you know, like he's my all-time favorites.
If you could all give advice to young photographers, one piece of advice, what would that be?
Yeah, I would say to explore a lot. I feel like that was the one thing I was so afraid to do when I started out. The moment I got into documentary photography, I felt like I needed to be in just that space and not like explore in any other way. So just keep exploring and keep finding out new ways to tell your stories that you feel that is authentic to you.
Yeah, I would just say like travel, you know. I think, you know, without traveling, then photography then becomes difficult. And traveling meaning both, you know, in literal sense and also just not literal, you know. So basically one needs to be able to open themselves up a lot and then explore. And yeah, I think that's one advice I would give.
For me, I would agree with Musa and say yes, travel, because for me, I travel a lot. Another thing is, don't worry too much about money. If you're consistent enough and creative enough, money would come. If you start off worrying about money, you can get anything done. And lastly, don't take a lot of advice from people. Yeah, even mine, but yeah.
Thank you once again to my guests, Ubachuku Emebriodo, Nengi Nelson, and Musa Numalo. And thanks to all of you guys for tuning in. See you on the next episode of Ezeoku Speaking Truths.